Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well. We've almost wrapped up week one for the Alaska venture with Holly out there helping the good folks at BP.
In Alaska.
Mm-hmm. I keep getting these gorgeous pictures from her hotel room of a mountain range and water. And then I think I told you before we went on air about the safety training that it includes what to do if you see a moose or a bear in the
parking lot. That was like similar to our company's safety training, right? Did we cover the moose?
Exactly. So, you know, Kelly and I, we're getting into our routine, and we're going to have a nice dinner this evening, reading time, all that. Just like your house, probably.
Exactly, similar, except for the Alaska component.
But you have a budding thespian.
Hopefully. A freshman in high school who just tried out for the play there, so we're going through that drama.
But everybody's going through getting everybody back to school.
Right, that transition. Absolutely.
And we've got a lot of new shows launching. We've got Emerging Enterprise coming out. Performance Difference just got off the ground.
And the Kennesaw State University Global Leadership Show's off and running.
That's going to be, we got a big September, a big balance of Q3 and Q4.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
But what makes it all happen is having great guests. And today's show is going to be no exception. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from Carrie Podber with Pass to Pros and an old friend and no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, Mr. Michael Moore. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman with Big Sky Associates and also, I think, an incoming grand poobah over at EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. Please welcome to the show, if you will, Hanno Ekdahl. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Stone. I appreciate it.
So how do we do on the pronunciation? Is that about how it's said?
You did very well. One of my friends described my name as a left hook followed by a quick right. So it throws most people for a loop. It's tough.
So tell us a little bit about Big Sky. What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Sure. We are a management consulting firm. We've been around for 6 years, and we focus on strategic decision analysis, business process improvement, and IT strategy.
That sounds like a pretty tall order.
It's a mixed bag of things, and they all seem to come into play with our clients. So a good example client for us, we did a major project for the United States Army. It was a multi-year project, and we went in and we reformed their security clearance process.
Wow.
And
that's
started
a big
off,
deal.
It is. It's 500,000 people in the U.S. Army.
Right.
And they're dealing with hundreds of thousands of clearances. The average time to get someone cleared was about 250 days.
Really?
Yes.
It's only almost a year.
So what do you do while you're waiting to get cleared?
Exactly. Well, that is a very good question.
Right, that's a lot of downtime.
You just wait, right? In your bunk.
Right. So you have... You have vacant positions. You need to fill them. They're sensitive.
Sure.
They require people
they're
have to be
vetted. They're important. I bet there's a sense of urgency there.
There's a huge sense of urgency. So we were able to cut that down by almost 80%.
Wow.
It started off as a business process improvement project.
Right.
And you can imagine in order to make that scale to an organization the
of
size,
that size, yeah,
you're going to have to throw some technology in there. So we really did everything from decision analysis. So how are we making decisions about clearing people?
Right.
To improving the process, removing non-value-added steps, and also centralizing. So it was originally a decentralized process.
Right.
So you had security offices all over the world that were doing bits and pieces.
But were they all doing it the kind of their own way? Because our way works in our situation that's unique as opposed to all the other situations?
Absolutely. There was a good bit of that. Not because people were doing it wrong. It wasn't a right or wrong thing. It was they were doing what they thought was best.
Right.
And there was also a lot of overlap, so people in the field offices might do steps that were other people were repeating further on down the process. So we were able to centralize and cut out a lot of that waste.
How did you just manage that bureaucracy? That I can't even imagine taking on a project like that.
It really starts with communication. It's getting the right people in the room, and you have to have a very strong client. The client has to want to change. It's a true partnership. If the client's not willing to change,
right,
then you're not going to get anywhere because you need that political support on the client side. So part of it is helping them with messaging. And once they understand what the problem is, they can communicate it clearly. They can get people on board because everyone really wanted to solve this problem.
Right, because 250 days, that's insane.
That's crazy.
It sounds It sounds insane.
Well, when you were, like, in their head, they didn't think it was 250 days, probably.
They knew it was 250 days. What they didn't know is where exactly the problem was. They actually thought they had a problem at the end of their process. So they thought, you know, we're really
It's we're tied in 240, but it's at 240, 250.
right.
But you know this guy can sell, right? Because he's going to the U.S. Army. He's going to work on their extremely sensitive stuff. Right. And his name is Hanno Ekdahl. It's not like George Washington Carver the Fourth.
Right.
That's incredible.
John Smith. My name is John Smith.
Or maybe that's what he's telling us that's his name.
That's my code name.
So why Big Sky? What prompted you to call it Big Sky?
So my business partner and I were on a ski trip in Big Sky, Montana.
Right.
And I wanted to name the company Hanno Consulting. He wanted to name it John Dillard Consulting. And we settled on Big Sky.
Compromised.
Fair compromise, yes.
Now, but how is your background in kind of this consulting world? Like you were one of the big consulting firms before this, and you guys went off on your own? Is that how this evolved?
Yes. I started off at Cambridge Technology Partners back in 99 after I got my MBA from the Moore School of Business in South Carolina, and loved it. It was really more of the dot-com strategy play, and we all know where dot-com went.
But it was an exciting time.
It was an exciting time.
No doubt about that.
I got to work with a lot of really good companies.
Smart people. You saw a lot of movement happening fast, just the complete opposite probably of the government.
Right.
Now, did you bootstrap this thing, or did you find somebody with Michael Moore pockets to fund it, or how did you get the thing off the ground?
You know, I wish I had known Michael Moore earlier in my career, because I ate a lot of ramen noodles.
Right.
And took a huge pay cut and did a lot of soul searching and praying.
So
and
was that a big decision for you to make that shift from an established firm into your own thing?
It was huge. It was a very emotional thing, you know. And as much as your parents love you, they're also the voice in your ear going, "You're going to go bankrupt."
Are you crazy?
Exactly.
You know what you have here. It's hard to get what you have here.
Right.
Right?
No, that's exactly right. You've got a great job. You're doing really well.
Right.
Why would you
put that all at risk, right?
And, you know, you have that voice in the back of your head, and you're also sitting there thinking, you know, no one has to buy from me. I'm going out to do my own thing. I don't have a big brand behind me. Do people really want to buy my
your brain?
I have to offer?
They're buying your brain.
And that's the way it started. Actually, the hardest transition was not that. I thought it would be at the time. It was actually getting people to see Big Sky as a company. So people
that
would say,
it wasn't just you.
Exactly. Me and my partner. So I want to buy some of Hanno's time. I want to buy some of John's time.
I don't want the other guy. I don't want Big Sky. I want Hanno.
Right. And that for us was really the seminal moment in the history of our company, where people saw us as a company. We brought more than just the two founders to the table. We brought consultants to the table.
So now how do you onboard a new consultant to get them to buy into kind of your culture, your methodology, and everything?
We actually have a full-day onboarding session with every new employee that comes in. So there's a new employee orientation, and we start off with our values. And that's actually one of the things when we founded our company. We're working on the back of the cocktail napkin in the bar at Big Sky. We start off with values, you know, things like integrity and intellectual curiosity, and relationships matter, and it's important to focus on those and honor those. That's the starting point for the conversations we have with our employees, and it's part of the interview process, and it's also part of the onboarding process, and it's actually part of our annual review process. So when we talk about performance, we're not talking about solely your client delivery, but did you live up to the values of the company?
Right. Now, how do you measure, like, relationships?
How do you measure relationships? Well, our clients all buy from us again and again and again, which is a really wonderful thing. I think that's really the proof that we have excellent relationships. Mm-hmm. It's partly also how we treat each other. I recently just completed a project for a client that I sold 5 years ago, and they just invited us back, and we just completed a project for them last week.
So, but when you're doing your reviews, you have metrics that you hold them accountable, the employees accountable to?
Yes, there are some standard metrics like utilization, so how many billable hours did you have in the year? Some of them are things like business development. How much did you sell, or did you participate in helping people sell? Did you participate in blogging? Were you putting some thought leadership out there, which also ties back to intellectual curiosity?
Right.
So how do you go about selling new business? It sounds like once you land a client, they're almost lifetime relationships. But what's your sales and marketing process look like?
That's a very good question. So part of it's networking. People I've known from my past at Cambridge Technology Partners, which was then acquired by Novell. So I still have a lot of friends from that community.
Right.
And they give me referrals. And we actually just hired our first salesperson who started on the 15th, which was
just the past?
Yesterday.
Oh, so you just hired them, literally.
And how are they doing?
So far, so good. I'm calling him later today, asking what he sold.
Any sales yet? Right. Why don't we talk a little bit about EO and how this plays into your company? And I'm sure it's an important part of your company's growth, your relationship with the EO.
Absolutely. EO has been huge. If you go to business school, if you've been to business school, you know that a lot of the education there is really based on case studies.
Mm-hmm.
It's sharing experience. It's learning from what others have done before.
Right.
And EO provides that peer-to-peer group. So in Atlanta, there are 130 members in EO.
Right.
And those members are part of a forum. So you have forums ranging in size from 5 to 10 people. And that's your core group of people that you meet with once a month.
And that's all in non-competitive industries?
That's exactly right.
Right.
So I've never hired a salesperson before. I didn't know what questions to ask. I'd never interviewed a salesperson before.
Right.
So I went to my forum and I said, hey, I'm about to hire a salesperson. I've never done this before. And people would share their experiences. You know, well, this is what I did the first time I hired a salesperson.
Right.
Or I have a sales force and this is what we look for. These are the questions we ask. And these are the type of answers we expect back,
right.
Which I never would have been able to come up with that by myself.
So you found it saved you time and it saved you it shortened your learning curve.
Absolutely. And, you know, the last thing you want to do when you're a small firm is make a big mistake.
You can't afford many mistakes.
Exactly. I don't have the big deep pockets of a Deloitte,
right.
So I can go and hire the wrong person.
That was a waste of a year, right?
Right. Right. Yes.
Well, and I didn't really realize this until I conned Lee into letting me have an equity position, but running a company can be a lonely business. So it must be nice to just hang out with other people that are running companies that aren't, where their primary agenda isn't trying to sell you something. You guys are all trying to help each other out, right?
Absolutely we are. The thing about being an entrepreneur is it's very hard on the people who are closest to you. So,
sure.
You know, I work on weekends. I answer emails
right,
whenever I
need to answer
24/7.
Emails. It's not like you leave at 5 and then just turn it off and then pick back up in the morning.
Exactly. So the ability to connect with other people who are sharing that lifestyle and have the same challenges you have, and you've got that worry and that responsibility. I remember when we hired our first employee, John and I looked at each other and, oh my gosh, this is serious. This guy and his family
now,
are depending on
right,
us.
Right. Now you feel more obligated because of that person.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, it's one thing to
put yourself
on the line,
at risk, but now you got somebody else that's buying in.
The whole conversation changed.
Right.
The whole conversation changed.
So now, has EO been involved in your business since the beginning, or I think isn't there a criteria you have to be a certain size before you can get involved in EO?
That's correct. The minimum is $1 million in revenue.
Right.
And you have to be a founder or a co-founder of the business.
Right.
There is also, though, a feeder program called EO Accelerator. So if you're $250,000 up to $1 million, you can participate in the Accelerator program. And they offer, you know, courses and trainings. And
is there forums too? But with only that size companies? Or do you get to kind of get a taste of what the big boys are doing?
Only those size companies. And it's the moderators tend to come out of EO. So you get a moderator from a larger company to come
right.
in and help you.
And were you part of that? Or you started right at the big EO?
Was I part of
Accelerator?
When your company?
I was not. I was actually not aware of EO at the time.
Uh-huh.
One of my former business school classmates here in Atlanta
suggested it.
And it's been a really awesome experience.
So what kind of topics can you get advice on? I would think that would be pretty broad.
It's very broad. And some of it is also personal. So, you know, there are personal things that come up that you need to deal with. And it may be how your business stress is affecting your relationship, for example.
Right.
Those are the kind of things that you bring up in forum as well and get advice.
And how often does forum take place?
Forum is a monthly event, and it's different schedule for each forum.
Is it an hour, a day, a half day?
It's about a half day for most forums. It's 4 to 5 hours.
And then do you get 100% attendance, or you have to have 100% attendance? That's how it works?
There are very strict rules on the forum. Most forums allow you to miss one.
A year. Uh-huh.
And you usually have to pay a penalty, and two, usually automatically out.
Wow.
And they have to vote you back in.
Now, what can you do? Mind, I know this is a private organization, but can you walk us through what a forum, like a half day agenda looks like?
Sure. So you start off with an icebreaker, current topic.
Is there homework before you get there?
There is not necessarily homework. However, what we like to do is set aside an hour, at least 1 hour of each of the meetings for a presentation. So I could come and present on hiring a salesperson.
But you would know that in advance. They would say, okay, next month you're going to be doing a presentation on tax challenges. Or
right.
Something.
Well, the problem is actually the opposite. It's, you know, there's a lot of people who want to present. So we've got a parking lot list of people going, ooh, wait, I got something.
Right.
So the range of topics can be anything. We've helped people with how do you evaluate, do performance evaluations,
right?
Branding, marketing, finance, accounting, all the core disciplines within a business. Those are all covered. And there are different levels of expertise and experience in the room to help you solve those problems. So in my forum, I've got one of the older forums. I've got people who've been in EO for 12 years.
Right.
And the amount of experience they bring to the table has been invaluable in helping me solve problems that come up in my business.
Well, in the relationships that these guys have, I'm operating under the impression it wasn't just Todd Bone's personal power. But do you remember when I went over to London and he said, oh, you're going over to London? I'll have you meet with so-and-so. And that guy treated me like gold just because Todd set it up. And I mean, he just welcomed me in there and I got the chance to visit with him. You guys really do go the extra mile to help each other out. It's a very collegial group.
Absolutely. I always try and return phone calls and emails the same day from someone with an EO. And to your point, we also have an annual retreat as part of the EO experience. Mm-hmm. So in your forum, you will go on a retreat once a year. We went to Costa Rica my first year, and we hooked up with the EO folks down there.
Right.
And to your point, Stone, I have never been treated so well. We got to tour all their businesses. I learned so much about how to do business in Costa Rica, things
right.
that to me, I assume...
Right.
In the United States that, oh, it's this way and it's completely different there.
Right.
There was some surprising learnings. I really enjoyed that. And it was a once in a lifetime experience. I mean, for me to set up a trip where I got to tour five local businesses.
Right. It would be impossible. You couldn't even
forget it.
Even attempt that.
Forget it. So memories of a lifetime.
Right.
So you got the cocktail napkin framed. You've got your sales force in place. You've got all these returning clients. You are incoming president of EO. Is that accurate?
That's correct. Starting next July, I will be the president.
So they give you like a year to kind of get ready for this experience?
Exactly. I'm working very close. I'm on the EO board now, and I'm working very closely with David, and he's helping me drink from the fire hose.
Well, and it may have been David that set that up.
Right.
I just don't remember David's last name. But thank you guys for setting that up, because I was treated like gold when I went across the pound. My question is, what's next for you? How are you going to invest your energy over the next 12 to 18 months?
That's a good question. So
that's two good questions I've asked in this.
You're doing
a
great job.
You're awesome.
Kevin, you keeping score back there?
Yep.
I've got your gold star for you.
All right.
So I'm actually starting to ramp up and think about what I want to do during my tenure as EO president. David Duncan setting a wonderful foundation. We work very closely together, and I think our vision's very tightly aligned. So one of the things we did this year that was different is we actually went out and did a roadshow and met with all the forums one-on-one to communicate the vision.
How many different forums?
There are 15 right now.
15 for the 130-ish members?
Correct.
So you went to each one as both of you together went?
With Jim Wade, who's our forum chair. So. Uh-huh. The three of us went around
to kind of observe and kind of get out of the horse's mouth how things are and to see.
Absolutely. To get the feedback from
right.
folks. There are people, a lot of people I recognize. There are some people I'm like, I don't think I've seen this person before.
Right.
You know, people get busy. They don't necessarily come to the events. And if you're looking to establish that community, you've got to start reaching out. So it was an opportunity for us to get feedback. Also an opportunity to share our vision and what we hope for and invite people to participate.
And so what are you charged with as an EO president? Is it growing membership? Is it, you know, keeping members happy or all of the above?
I think the biggest thing is to build that sense of community and to provide excellent learning events. So we met with Jim Collins just a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
We have some really high-level marquee speakers who come in and talk.
Right.
We have access to wonderful experts. We met yesterday with Doug Franklin over at Cox.
Mm-hmm.
And you met Lee Cantor today.
Today, you're not even mentioning that.
I'm checking that off my list. I was going to do that next year.
That's a bucket list.
I got it out early.
Before we let you go, what advice, if any, would you offer a budding entrepreneur? You're a self-made person. You obviously have enjoyed some tremendous success. Maybe a headache or two that you can help them avoid, or something you can really help them capitalize on?
I think the thing is, the only thing that really was stopping me was me. You know, there's a Broadway director named Joshua Logan, and he said, you know, if anything can stop you, let it. You know, believe in yourself, be committed to it, and find a way to work on it. If you need to work on it on the side for a while to flesh out the idea and make sure that it's something that you need to go
right.
after, do it. Start working on it now, and you'll find, actually, that there's a community of people out there doing the same thing who are willing to help you. It's a very supportive community, and there's a lot of resources out there, and you can go to sites like Startup Chicks or ATDC.
Sure.
They're wonderful resources online.
Are you involved with them at all?
We're starting to get involved with them.
Right. We're involved with ATDC.
Okay.
We do a lot of work with TAG and a lot of the startup community. Is that one of your areas that Tags. You're trying to get into?
Tag is also very good. So the ATDC website is wonderful for all kinds of resources for
and
people.
And they have entrepreneurs available that want to help. You can just call them up and book some time and just go and see them.
Exactly, and that's one of the things actually I'm going to be volunteering my time for is to be a mentor to other startups.
Oh, great, great.
Well, you're right. Things are going well for us, but I don't think the U.S. Army is going to let us anywhere near their clearance processes.
I don't know. All you have to do is ask, it seems, and they'll let anybody do this.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more about Big Sky
and also
India?
Sure. Our URL for Big Sky is www.bigskyassociates.com. And EO Atlanta is, I believe it's actually eoatlanta.org.
Right. Good stuff.
Yeah, it has been an absolute delight having you come in, man. Thanks for coming in and visiting with us.
Thank you.
How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
So, Lee, one of these days, I think we should do a show featuring unsuccessful entrepreneurs, because I'm sure that would be an interesting conversation. But I just always get so inspired when we get a chance to visit with someone that's been there, done that. Certainly would have some scar tissue, but they're accomplishing great things. That's a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, it's what makes this job interesting.
Yeah. Well, next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us Rainmaker and Chief Storyteller and Grand Poobah for Buckedge. Welcome back to the studio, Michael Moore.
Thank you. Good to be with you this morning.
We're delighted to have you. You win Best Dressed. You got the sport coat and the lapel pin and the pocket square. I'm impressed.
Well, I left my other Michael Moore attire, the T-shirt and the hat in the car.
Tell us a little bit about Buckedge.
Well, Buckedge is simply the moniker or the corporate name that my wife and I use for our interest. Most folks out there probably know Michael Moore because he did some movies, but they tell me I'm older and better looking, so it actually was my name. And I've been in Atlanta for so many years that I needed to brand myself. We were talking in the room a little earlier. I used to work in the arena where I work with telecom people. And so I had a moniker back in the 90s when the internet came along called Sell by Phone, because if people could capitalize on a time and actually sell by phone as opposed to being in front of folks, that was popular. Now I guess if I were going to do a new moniker, it would be Sell by Internet or something.
So now, what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm working with entrepreneurs. It's good to be here this morning with a super entrepreneur. I'm also working with people who are in the faster base of the new media arena, where we're trying to educate folks in how to use the tools that are out there and how to, as what I've been doing for a lot of years, is connecting folks to resources they don't have or don't know where to find, which makes a tremendous difference when somebody's helping you that you don't have to pay for. So I'm one of those some days unpaid consultants and other days very appreciated consulting. But sometimes you have to look for those opportunities very carefully.
Now, is there any kind of challenges when you're dealing with entrepreneurs and small business owners that maybe there aren't when you're dealing with larger firms?
There's one that pops up in everybody's mind, and I'll use it for something that very simply can be understood by most folks. If a good plumber, a good carpenter, or a good electrician were to want to leave his company and go start a business, he's probably not going to fail. He or she's not going to fail because they can't plumb or carpenter or whatever the task is. They are technically proficient. Most often they will fail because they do not know how to do the rest of the business, which is really where entrepreneurs continually stumble. They think the brother-in-law or their banker or someone else in their circle will help them out and know exactly what they should do next. And as we just learned in the EO group, that's not necessarily what happens.
I thought he was going to say the biggest challenge in working with entrepreneurs was, is the check going to clear?
Right, they have no money.
Well, cash is still a universal medium, and we recommend it in many cases working with entrepreneurs.
So I got to believe lead generation continues to be a challenge for some folks when they're trying to get their thing off the ground. Do you have some ideas to offer in that regard?
Most certainly. Lead generation is always something. If you just give me one more good lead, then I'll be able to make my business successful. That's what an entrepreneur says.
Yeah, and we have them in the back. We have the Glengarry leads that we keep with us at all times.
Well, and that all you need to do to make a Glengarry lead better is to add another zero or move a comma, right?
I'll take one.
But people often wonder, and that's why networking and relationships really make a difference in business. You could not possibly move out without a continual lead flow. We've heard people talk about sales funnels. We've had people talk about happy customers. We've had people talk about referrals. But in reality, it comes down to the personal interaction. And earlier we talked about the fact that lifetime customers are a valuable thing. Most people wouldn't have a clue how to calculate the lifetime value of a customer. Therefore, they would never know how much to invest in getting a customer. That matrix becomes so important, so critical, that process.
So it sounds like you have to kind of maybe re-educate that small business owner a little bit. Maybe they're not kind of seeing the world as you've seen it.
Well, you know, many times, I think our moms and dads probably told us this, but we didn't pay attention. Today, you're a result of everything you've learned and every activity and every mistake you've made in the past. Can you capitalize on and move forward? That's really what makes an entrepreneur successful, or as some people might say, less successful. But yeah, most people have the knowledge. They do not know or will not take the time to properly implement it. And if they're wise enough to realize they aren't doing a good job, they'll reach out and get a coach or hire an employee or grow their business differently, which is one of the biggest challenges.
So how's social media impacting the entrepreneur's world these days? I got to believe it's having some kind of impact.
Well, how many people carry around a stack of 1,000 business cards in their pocket?
Not me.
Well, how many people would like to keep in touch with those 1,000 business cards that they don't carry in their pocket? We watch, and I'm sure we'll hear later about it, the fact that blogging, becoming a thought leader, becoming respected, becoming regarded, becoming listened to, may not be business today, but it will certainly be business next week. Where you're involved and how people know you becomes important. One of our local divas of Leeds would be someone named Susan Knox, and she says that saying very simply. It's not who you know. It's who knows you and who talks about you in a positive way.
He added that last little
positive
bit.
Way.
That was for you, Stone. Particularly.
He was looking right at you when he said that.
Now, I would think that social media today and the internet today allows anybody the opportunity to be a thought leader if they'd like to, whereas maybe 20 years ago, you needed to be published. A publishing house out of New York had to choose you to write a book, and then you can become a thought leader. Now, anybody with a blog, or like we have a microphone or a video camera, at least you have a shot at being a thought leader just because it's more democratized media situation that today than it was ever, and I would think, in history. But how does a person leverage that opportunity to move from, you know, just because I have 1,000 followers on Twitter doesn't mean I have 1,000 customers on Twitter? How do you get from that kind of superficial knowing somebody into really building that relationship that is meaningful, that, you know, that at some point money does change hands and it does become business?
Well, I think I heard you say the answer right there. If you walk like a duck, look like a duck, and talk like a duck, people who want to talk to ducks are going to come visit you. You must get the right people in your circle. We all have communities, and we all have people who, from those 250 folks in our circle, or now it could be 2,500 folks, or it could be 25,000 folks. If they're not the right type of listener, and they're not giving you any feedback, then you're not going to continue to survive or excel or grow. Everybody knows how they enjoy or how they feel about doing things, but do you really know how other people feel about what you're doing? And do they enjoy what you're doing? Unfortunately, in the internet or in the social media space, we don't necessarily know exactly how they feel until they tell us. And most people are quiet listeners in the internet. It's even more so than on the radio. You don't know if they've turned you off or not out there, because they can still click through your messages, and they might even be nice and say they like you every once in a while, just like that person who said, yeah, I enjoy being with you tonight at dinner because you paid.
Good.
So, Michael, I have done some blogging, and I also am pretty active on LinkedIn. And so by posting things to LinkedIn and Twitter, I've actually generated some business leads where people have reached out to me saying, hey, you've really done some thinking in this area.
Right.
I'd really like your expertise, and it's resulted in some sales yet. However, it has resulted in leads.
In conversations.
And absolutely.
I'm not meaning to dispute the importance of that, but I think a lot of people think that just by speaking and sharing that's enough. But the purpose of that is, to just start a conversation. At some point, you have to have a conversation to know what the other person's pain is, and see if there's a fit or not.
Sure. So what I'm doing is I'm sharing problems that I've solved. So a problem that I've solved for another client, or something that I've been thinking about, and demonstrating that knowledge. And so someone says, oh, you know, I've got a similar problem.
Right.
This guy he's demonstrated to me that he's thinking about this.
Right.
I should get him in here.
And let me chat with him and see
exactly
if there's a fit or not.
Yes.
Well, as we remember from earlier in the conversation, I think you completed your MBA back in 1999 during the height of the the beginnings of the real internet.
That's correct.
And as you gained and garnered that experience, as you begun, you began to put a process together which people began to respect what you did. You were successful. You grew to a point where you were able to, as in the plumber example, you were able to verge out on your own.
Right.
And you were able to get the right skill set and or get the right help. You got a good partner. You're still together after X number of years. So let's assume that was the good marriage.
Absolutely.
And as for the time being, you guys will continue to grow your business and you will build benefit customers and you'll build that customer base. Now, if you both become thought leaders, then you're going to build a much larger business. And that's one of the things that people get in trouble. You asked a question earlier about what are the biggest entrepreneurial mistakes.
Right.
I've seen quite a few of those where people grow too fast or grow too slow. I don't know which is the right answer, but you need to have a circle of friends or a circle of acquaintances where you're investing time in each other outside your business. And that comes back to the vestige organizations. It comes back to everything from chambers of commerce to Sunday morning and service.
And EO.
And EO, correct.
And EO. And these platforms, they're such powerful tools if they're used properly and for people like Hano who have substance and can use them as a foundation, as a conduit to distribute thought leadership. And obviously distributing thought leadership is a very strong strategy when you're selling your expertise. But I got to believe a lot of entrepreneurs don't use these platforms properly, at least in the early going, and probably can do them more harm than good, right?
Well, if you're going to build a home, you might want to build it out of sticks or bricks or steel or whatever. And I want to focus on something that just happened again here today where we have hundreds, if not thousands, and hundreds of thousands of contacts. There are many ears that may or may not listen to us. One of the regarded things is, do people respect what you say? And do they give you feedback? As well as, do you have the ability to reach out and get that feedback with your circle? Our next guest is someone I've known off and on for years, but we bumped back into each other here in the studio this morning because of our circle brought us back together today. And don't know exactly why, but I'm sure our next guest will be very enlightening in what she's doing, as well as going to share with you and probably prompt some thoughts in our own minds about who we need to reach back out and touch. One thing about the internet is the anonymity, the social media. Until someone raises their hands and says that was interesting, you really don't know if it's important or not.
Now, today we've talked a lot about organizations that help in terms of mentorship and education, like EO. I know you're active in a lot of groups, I believe, CEO Network, right?
Yeah, I've been very, very, very
and
blessed.
The Ritz Group.
Yeah, very blessed over my years. Many people may know the group CEO Space, which is an international organization of CEOs, about 20,000 of us around the world who can pick up the phone and call someone with a similar challenge. Also involved with CEO NetWeavers, which is uses the terminology of netweaving / pay it forward to build a group. We have an active group here in the city of about 80 executives, most of which are over 39 but under 100, and have led organizations in some very interesting environs. And then lastly, I participate in the entrepreneurial workspace over the years. I'm a certified entrepreneurial advisor, as well as I'm an active ambassador with the Ritz Group, which most people here in the city know, that has just been rebranding itself and will be relaunched this fall.
Now, you've got some news about the Ritz Group, right? A lot of neat things happening over there.
Oh, I do. The Ritz Group, we're moving to what would be called a social platform environment. We're giving the entrepreneur as well as the investor the opportunity to communicate directly. We're giving a platform and a portfolio capability to ask people to complete, that's the important part, to complete their information so that other people don't have to ask the basic questions before they start a serious conversation. It also gives people a chance to practice a little due diligence on those questions they're going to get with a trusted group of folks who may or may not be billing them for their activities.
Now, in the Ritz Group, is that something where you're networking in order to gain business, or you're networking to gain education, or What is the kind of the mission of the Ritz Group?
Well, the Ritz Group is actually, I won't give you that official boring mission, but think of the entrepreneur who doesn't know who to talk to raise funds to take their business to the, quote, the next level. And look at the angel investor or the investor, the mid-range investor, who doesn't find the best deal. Because in reality, we all make more money and improve our business more and do better for society if we can find the right people without many mistakes. And the Ritz Group is designed to allow entrepreneurs, organizations, and investors to be paired up much less expensively and much more professionally. That's the goal.
Now, EO, their mission is not to sell to each other, right? That's one of the core tenets of the group.
That's correct, yeah. It's not a you're not allowed to solicit other members.
Right.
You can say, this is what I do, and people can approach you and say, hey, I know this is your area of expertise. I'd like to buy from you.
Right, but you can't kind of pitch. It's all
about
educating and helping and supporting.
No, that you cannot pitch, and it is absolutely about the peer-to-peer learning and establishing those connections.
Right.
I saw your eyes light up, Lee, when he talked about finding good deals, because Lee's always got his antenna up for investing in companies, right?
Yeah, we're always – I mean, the thing that's neat about our business here at Business Radio X is we meet a ton of new businesses, and you hear a lot of passionate people with great ideas, so we enjoy that.
Well, you got to get to know these Ritz folks more. We got Emerging Enterprise we're launching next month. That's all about getting emerging
companies in here.
Yeah, and it's really like Lee's conduit for investing in companies. Is that what it is?
That's how we're positioning that.
Well, we can provide a group of people to beat a path to your door.
There you go.
All right, so maybe we'll talk to you after the show about maybe a Ritz segment or something.
Well, there really might be some merit in that, having like Ritz.
You think you can pull that off, Michael? You're a big connector.
We might be able to make a little rain in an area, and if not, we can certainly tell a good story about it.
All right.
So what's the best way for our listeners to reach out and have a conversation with you about some of these topics?
Well, my favorite way is to go on LinkedIn and link with me. My second favorite way is to go to Buck Hedge CEO, that's BuckHedgeCEO at Gmail. Yes, I'm a Google guy. And people will most often ask, what is Buck Hedge good for? Well, I live at the edge of Buckhead, and I hedge against success some days. So BuckHedgeCEO at gmail.com or Michael Moore on LinkedIn.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, man. We got to have you back sometime.
Always a pleasure to be with you, and it sounds like you've already built the path for me to be back.
I think so. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Well, this is an old friend, and I'm looking forward to catching up and hearing her new story. So.
All right.
Terrific. Well, this is a lot of fun, Lee.
I know. Now we got a third co-host. It makes the job even easier
really,
for us.
Really? I thought maybe you'd just get up and leave and let Hanno and I do our job.
I'm pinch hitting.
I'm glad we invited you in, man. This is, it's exciting. I love talking. It's what makes this job so much fun. Is, you know, you get everybody you talk to, they're really so smart about what they do.
They're
right?
smart. They're passionate. They're optimistic. You know, it's just a great forum.
It's like the opposite of the 6 o'clock news, right? I mean, it's all good news when they come in here. I think we got some kind of technical difficulty over there on your side of the desk.
It's
just for two-eared people.
Right.
It's fine. I'll hold it.
So it is now my pleasure to introduce Miss Carrie Podbert with Paths to Pros. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you.
You were so patient and kind to wait on us while we were gabbing with our other two guests. And now we want to learn all about Paths to Pros. Tell us a little bit about this outfit.
Okay. Well, Paths to Pros, we are building a social network. Not a social network, a social game where basically gamers, sports fans, and pro athletes are going to live and game in a social world.
And what does gaming mean in this context?
Basically, the Paths to Pros itself, you're going to be building a city with the athletes, so you can buy, sell real estate, work for athletes, work for other gamers. Within that, you're going to be able to do different types of gaming. So you'll be able to game either one-on-one or in groups. There's all these different types of mini games and group games that you'll play within the game, and everything totals up to your actual score in the game. So you keep leveling up in different areas of the game whether it's by building real estate, working, or by just playing.
Sounds like life. Right?
What's it like? Is there another game out there that's similar that maybe doesn't focus on athletes and sports stuff?
Well, basically, and let me just tell you that the games that you're going to be playing within the game aren't all necessarily sports-related games.
Is it like Words to Friends? With friends?
Well, it wouldn't actually be called that. But, yes, you can play games like that. There'll be mini action games. There'll be I don't want to say, I guess in a way the virtual world is somewhat comparable to like a Second Life, if you're familiar with something like that. And then,
so I make an avatar of myself?
Yes, you do. And
you can be so much cooler online.
You can.
You can be so much better looking.
Suggests, right.
You can. You can do your avatar however you want. It'll actually be you, and the athletes will actually be their own avatars.
No way. I'm actually hanging with Shaq. We're playing each other. I'm whipping him in some game that's not basketball probably, right?
It could be basketball.
Could be. Seriously, though, the athletes, you've got them involved in this thing.
Yes. Well, Shaq is not yet playing, but right. I'd love to have him.
What are some of the athletes you have?
Okay, I can't do the athlete list.
Okay,
but sorry. We did just announce Andrew Jones the other last week, so he's in the game. What I can tell you is that we have over 30 on our starting roster, and they're
sweet
MVPs, All Stars, Golden Gloves. They're people you'll know.
Famous local radio hosts. You know, mm-hmm. telling who might be on there.
Maybe you need that. A whole radio.
Actually, maybe we'll put a little Atlanta Business Radio headquarters in the game.
If you earn enough points, you get an interview.
Get on the air.
I can do that. I can actually do that.
So, what's your role with the company?
Well, originally, the company basically started because a pro athlete had approached me in building a social network type thing where the athletes wanted to get a closer connection with their fans, so they wanted, and this was before gaming really became what gaming is today.
Right.
So we built that, and we decided not to launch that because gaming, it makes more sense, first of all, from a fun factor. I mean, gaming with athletes was way more fun than going to visit their profile online.
Sure.
And possibly, you know, buying stuff. You know, each of the athletes had a store. So instead, we decided to rebuild and scrap that. And we rebuilt it and decided to do the social activity within the gaming environment.
And integrate the athletes as part of this, not just kind of passively, but it's more
exactly
actively.
Whereas before, the athletes would have put up their profile, they would have been able to do, you know, status updates and
right.
kind of things like that. But how many times would you have gone to an athlete's profile?
Right.
Whereas now you have a much bigger interest in going and interacting with the athletes in a gaming environment,
right.
which changes the whole dynamics of everything.
And now you're crowdfunding this thing, yes?
We are.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Are you doing it on Kickstarter?
We launched a Kickstarter campaign, but then I actually put a hold on marketing of it because...
Because you're going to wait till after this interview?
Waiting till after this interview. I actually found fascinating. I got a lot of feedback on, you know, the video and, and the GIFs. And
sure.
You guys know how this works,
absolutely.
Right? Okay, so I did all our gifts, and they range from, you know, anything from just getting your game money back to play in the game,
right.
to field passes, to dinner with an athlete, it was a big range. And what I found was that people wanted virtual gifts.
That's what they wanted the most?
They wanted virtual gifts. So I went back and I redid our gifts, and now they have special virtual gifts as Kickstarters.
Has it been a good experience? Was it easy to kind of get your thing going, put it out there?
Well, no. There's a lot of work to get a Kickstarter campaign
going. Because they make it seem like it's very simple.
It's not. It's not. It's not at all. And you know, the other thing we're also fighting is not everybody knows what crowdfunding and Kickstarter is.
Right.
So part of me is having to explain that. And then, you know, and in our case, I mean, we're just having people basically get in the game early.
Right.
So they're getting in the game now, and they'll get different benefits from having entered the game early.
So when do you think it'll be up on Kickstarter?
It's up on Kickstarter right now.
But it's on hold.
Well, no, I mean, it's up there. I wanted to go in and do the gifts because we had a lot of requests on specific gifts. So I made that change for everybody.
But are the athletes kind of helping you in terms of, you know, tweeting and going out there and saying, hey, you guys got to sign up for this and you can play me? And
they are if they have the social environment set
right.
up. The next athlete that I'm probably announcing, he doesn't have a fan page on Facebook, but he has a Twitter
right.
page. So, you know, we'll use those respectively with each other. And yes, I mean, if they have them, they do. If they don't, they don't. But what I found, you know, the athletes are actually excited about playing this.
I would think this is going to be great for them. That lets them engage with their audience in a place where they're comfortable.
And it's fun. And
right.
the other thing that we're doing for the athletes is, if they have a foundation or a charity, then that foundation actually plays in the game.
Oh, that's even better. So that's win-win-win all the way around.
Exactly. And Pass the Pros will do, you know, certain portions of revenue will go out to different charities.
Well, that's where I'm headed. Show me the money. Help me understand. This is all sounds like a lot of fun. But
how we generate, how we make revenue?
I'd be interested in all of it. I'd like to follow the money here for a minute.
Okay. I guess without getting really too specific, the game itself is free. You know, you don't to go in and set up your avatar and start setting up your space and doing all that is free. Now, the athletes come into the game in a total different way than the actual gamers do. Whereas you'll be given some game money to play, they come in based on their value as a player.
Uh-huh.
Now, how it changes is once they're in the game, their stats in the real world actually play into the game stats.
Oh, wow.
But
I like that.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's kind of like a fantasy, effect coming into the game also. But now you'll be able to level up and generate different, monies and things like that in the game based on what athletes you have associated yourself with in the game. So you play off their real life statistics as well in the game. And you can work for athletes. You can work for other gamers. You basically have to build the whole city, and then there'll be different stadiums in there. So if you want, there'll be a football stadium. So if you want to just go into the football stadium and do football stuff and meet other, football fans in there and the players in there, you go into the football stadium. And then I was telling you this before.
Yeah.
These are my two favorite areas. There's going to be a live trivia night. So basically you can either play with the athlete, and other gamers, and we all play against each other. You play on a team, but against each other. And then that's one thing that we'll be doing. And another thing is a live bidding system. So let's say you're at, or a live game goes on and someone hits a Grand Slam home run. They can actually sign that bat and it will go up for bid and all the gamers can actually bid on that bat.
Wow, that's killer.
But you will actually get that bat. I mean, the live bidding system is real items.
This is not a virtual bat.
This is not a virtual bat. Now, you will be, okay, so back to your revenue question.
Right.
You will be getting, obviously, we have an entire virtual store where you can get a load of stuff in the virtual store.
And that's a huge, maybe if you educate the listeners, they don't understand that that's a huge business.
It's huge.
Virtual goods is a huge, it's probably multi-billion dollar business.
Yes, it's a billion, it's multi-billion dollar. And basically, well, I'll tell you this. The statistics, and I've been following gaming for a very long time.
I would think so. I hope so.
And I'm actually a gamer. But the average person that actively games spends roughly between $25 to $150 a month in just virtual items.
And so, give an example of what a virtual item might be.
A virtual item, for us, a virtual item might be a signed hat by an athlete, a signed jersey.
But that would be a real hat?
In our case, it's both.
It might be real, right?
If you want it to be real, you can either buy it with your game money in the game. But if you also actually want that signed item from that athlete or whatever item is in that virtual store, there's a list of items that are virtual that turn to reality if you actually want them.
But can I kind of level up my skills because I want Andrew Jones' speed? So can I pay and be kind of super speed guy?
You can pay in there are certain things that you can pay for to further get yourself ahead in the game.
Right.
You pay for everything in game money. You can add to your game money.
But I can buy game money with cash.
Yes. You can buy more.
You'll
game
take
money.
My cash.
I will take your cash.
But then it translates into game money that I can use for whatever I want.
For whatever you
game.
Want. Exactly.
Right.
So when can we get Lee and everybody signed up on this thing? It's happening
soon, right? Is it live now or you're in beta?
What we have right now, we're not live. What we have is...
He doesn't even know what beta means. It's just people come to the studio
alpha,
and they
beta?
Use words like
are we
that.
In gamma?
We are not in beta. We're expected to go to beta in December. Right now, you'll be able to get in. Right now, if you want to get in, you can get in through the Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And then, obviously we'll continue to start announcing the athletes and go through all that. And, you know, we're announcing the athlete. I'm not just giving a list of the athletes to people. I mean, that's just, that's not fun.
Make them do some work.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But what I want to do, I want you to sign up for this thing, and then I want to, on air every week or however
see
often,
how I'm doing?
Tell everybody how Lee's doing. I think that would be a blast.
Now, so they go to Kickstarter.com and search for Pasta Pros, or go to your website?
Yeah, there's actually also a link on our fan page on Facebook, which is at Pasta Pros, and we also have Twitter.
It's the number two, right past the number two pros.
Correct.
Cool.
All right, I think that wraps it up, man. Anything
all right,
else you
so
want
that's
to
the best way, Facebook. Go to Facebook, start there.
Facebook, I mean, they could... they can go to our fan page. They can ask any questions. They can go to Kickstarter. They can ask questions.
All right.
We answer them.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie. Great show, Stone. You did a great job. I think you won the best question award, as usual.
Times two. It carries over to the next.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton and the rest of the gang here at Business Radio X. We will see you all next week.